Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy, and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, this is the Southern Fork. Unscripted kitchen chats, and also studio chats, with some of the most interesting voices in the culinary South. I'm Stephanie Burt, a food and beverage writer based in Charleston, South Carolina, who travels with her fork to write for a variety of publications, from magazines you might have on your coffee table to the website you love to visit for your favorite recipes. And I'm inviting you to come behind the scenes with me to get to know the people who make this Southern culinary landscape so special. I'm always hungry for the next bite, thirsty for that next sip, and ready for the next conversation. Let's dig in. The Southern Fork is presented this year by Townsend Automotive in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The Honda CR-V has been my favorite vehicle in Honda's lineup for years because it has great gas mileage and can haul a vintage furniture find with ease. In fact, it's so easy for getting out there in general, from the beach to the mountains to even the next photo shoot for a Southern travel article. Purchasing a CR-V from Townsend Honda means purchasing from a family-owned company built on service and connection with its customers, and they want to remind you of the joys of a jaunt down the road. Visit TownsendHonda.com for current inventory, or if you're in West Alabama, stop in. Townsend Honda salutes local entrepreneurs, from restaurateurs to podcasters, and they welcome you to be part of a community that does the same. Just 7% of U.S. businesses overall were Black-owned before the pandemic, and that's according to data from a University of California Santa Cruz study. Of course, Black-owned restaurants were only a portion of that number. In 2020, North Charleston, South Carolina native KJ Kearney began the Black Food Fridays Instagram account with a simple idea. It would be a way for people to find and support Black-owned restaurants. It has since evolved into multiple platforms highlighting dishes, desserts, drinks, and the people who make them in Black-owned restaurants, as well as larger discussions at the intersection of race, food, and history. The Instagram account alone now has more than 31,000 followers, and KJ has partnered with corporations from Pepsi to Amazon in order to bring awareness to Black food businesses all over the country. He's led food tours, held his first live event, and participated in panels and discussions. And he and Anella Malik also host the Fix Your Plate podcast on the Eat, Drink, Dine network. Welcome to the Southern Fork, KJ.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and today I can honestly say I am having you. I'm hosting you inside my house. You're sitting on my Tim Burton / Beetlejuice couch.
Right, right.
My dog is sitting on my lap, and we're both North Charleston residents,
yep.
So this was the easiest for us
it
today.
It was. Yeah.
So I cannot believe that actually we're sitting here because you have been running about the country.
A little bit.
Yeah. I have too. So we've crossed paths and made that happen. But today we're going to talk about all things Black Food Fridays. So, number one, congratulations.
Thank you.
On having a platform and a voice and consistently bringing content that is useful to people. Because I think lots of times Instagram can be a closed loop.
Mm.
And even if it's talking about sugar and grits, which we don't need to discuss, we're on the same page.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's a no for anyone who's listening.
Like a capital N-O.
cream of wheat, put your sugar on that.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. But, you know, it's always interesting. And we're actually talking on Fried Chicken Day, which every day is Fried Chicken Day for me. I was discussing, we were comparing notes, but I wanted to kind of back up a little bit into what captured your imagination about the food world. And because you aren't a chef, traditionally are in education, yeah, right? Can you tell us a little bit about your day job?
Yeah, my day job, I work at an elementary school, and I tell people I'm a glorified bouncer. So I do teach, but I don't teach core subjects. I teach behavior. And so it's my job when a kid is getting too high to bring them back down, or if a kid is too low to kind of bring them back up, using positive behavior intervention. And so, you know, sometimes I'm the good guy and sometimes I'm the bad guy. But that's basically my job, is trying to corral the emotions of elementary school kids, which, believe it or not, is a very useful skill when interacting with adults.
I would 100% believe that. Yeah. So in 2020, this is really when it started, mm-hmm. right? And what really drew you to start this social media account, which backs up your in-world action?
Yeah. So,
which is different than starting from the social media. You're starting from an action.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I ran for office. I've worked in politics, education, healthcare. So you're absolutely right. This is kind of a manifestation of my real world life into an online persona. And of course, supporting Black owned businesses has been something my parents and I have been doing since whenever. But I was writing a book about Beyonce, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I was writing a book about the intersection of Beyonce and community organizing.
Love it.
Yeah, because I think you can teach people community organizing by studying the Beehive. And I'm going to finish that book one day. But it was very intense in terms of research, and I needed a break. And because I'm a nerd, a break means different mental work.
Yeah. I'm a nerd too, so I understand. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm done writing for the day. I think I'm going to make this puzzle out of fabric.
Exactly, right?
Just, called quilting.
It doesn't stop. And right. So I had this idea of, you know, documenting Black-owned restaurants that were open during mm-hmm. COVID. And my first attempt at it was like in March. And a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, basically cursed me out. Not basically, cursed me out. And she was like, we don't know what COVID is. And so for you to be rushing to tell people support these Black-owned restaurants, you could be sending people to their death. Because again, March 2020, we didn't know what any of this was going to be like. I mean, we still don't know, but we have a better handle on it. I shut that down, but the idea stayed with me. And so in May, I decided, May 5th to be specific, all right, I'm going to start an Instagram account. It's going to be a part-time thing. And I'm just going to tell people what restaurants are open during COVID and abiding by their municipality's COVID standards, right? So I won't just be naming random Black-owned restaurants. I'll say, hey, Atlanta is allowing people to do takeout, and these Black restaurants are doing takeout, or mm-hmm. Charleston is allowing this, and then, you know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. that was the initial goal. Mm-hmm. And by the end of June, that kind of went out the window. Like June, me and some other Black creators, we call last year June boom. It was this boom of white people who automatically started caring about Black issues in a very intense way. Because remember, we had, you know, Breonna Taylor started making noise, mm-hmm. not started making noise, but the news became mm-hmm. national. Mm-hmm. Ahmaud Arbery. And then you had the quote unquote cherry on the top, which was George Floyd. And so I went from, in a month, I think I had 1,004 followers from the beginning of May to the end of June. By the end of June, I was at 4,200, and it just never stopped, you know, it just mm-hmm. never stopped. And so what I realized is that this platform needs to be more than just this restaurant is open, and I could use it to, going back to my educational background, teach people some things. And so that's what I decided to do, and people like it.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's really difficult for me to do it on Friday. So let's talk about that. So there's a hashtag, Black Food Fridays. Why'd you choose Friday?
Because in addition to being an educator, I am a writer. And so alliteration works every time.
It does.
Every time. If you can create a catchy slogan, especially if alliteration is involved, people will remember it. Mm-hmm. And so I do remember when I was thinking about what the name could be, and I got to give a shout out to one of my best friends, Rob Brown, which we always say his full name, Rob Brown. I don't know why we do, but we always say Rob Brown. Rob and I were talking about this idea, and he mentioned something about, you know, Fridays. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it just, boom, it just clicked.
Right.
Because Taco Tuesday works. I have woken up on a Tuesday or found myself hungry on a Tuesday and been like, oh, it's Tuesday, I'm going to go get tacos. And so that also has alliteration. And I was like, yo, I wonder if I can make a Taco Tuesday, but for Black people food. So that was level one, right? Mm-hmm. Level two was I needed to create a very easy call to action. Adrienne Marie Brown says, and I'm really reducing a lot of her work to like fit our conversation, but she has this book called Pleasure Activism. And in the book, she basically says that if you want change to be lasting, it has to be pleasurable. It has to be fun. That's why people start New Year's resolutions to work out, and then 3 weeks in, they're done, because working out sucks. It hurts. You have to inconvenience yourself if you're not used to doing it. And so I wanted to make this a very easy call to action. In the political world, we call it, well, in the political organizing world, you call it a ladder of engagement, right? So that was the easiest way to get people in. You don't have to care about Black people, but if you make a conscious decision once a week to spend your money there, after a while, certain people are going to be like, ooh, you know, I want to do more than just buy food. And then they're going to move up.
But every step helps. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Every step helps. Mm-hmm. Because you're not only doing engagement, you're actually putting money in pockets of Black-owned mm-hmm. businesses. And those Black-owned businesses, they're getting visibility. Mm-hmm. So all of that's happening. So now we've got this tumble effect. We've got this idea of, and you've mentioned positive activism, and I am a big fan.
Right.
Of that idea, because I've seen it work in my own life. Mm-hmm. Instead of you add stuff in, mm-hmm. you don't take stuff away.
There you go.
So like when I'm adding in more vegetables, it's because I like vegetables and I'm thrilled to have the money to be able to buy fresh
right.
food.
Right. Right.
So this is a nice thing. Well, then I'm just naturally going to eat all these vegetables and only have a budget.
Right.
So I'm not going to buy the same things that I bought before right. that. So right. it's a pleasure principle. Mm-hmm. Plus, once I eat vegetables, I'm like, wow, these are really good.
Right, right, right.
You talk about positive behavior modification, or is modification the right
intervention.
Word? Intervention. Yeah. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So we've got two positive things. But I have to ask you as a man, KJ, that I'm sure not all reactions to this account have been positive.
That's a very good. Yes, though, 90% of it is positive. Mm-hmm.
And it's fun when you start out positive that loop.
Yeah.
It perpetuates.
100%. Right? I will use this as an opportunity, though, to speak for women in the space, particularly Black women. I co-host a podcast with a good friend of mine, Anella Malik. She has this platform called Feed the Malik. I mean, we basically talk about the same thing. But if you look at her comments compared to mine, and we've interviewed some women, Kale Me Maybe, there's a bunch of people. But when you look at these women who are in this food space and you look at the comments that they get, it's disgusting. And I know that as a man, I have that privilege that where people don't feel comfortable talking to me crazy on the internet. So, no, to be fair, 99, percent of my interactions are positive online. Mm-hmm. The only negative thing I'll get is like, well, what if we create White Food Wednesday? Or like, it's not original because the joke is old now to the point where I bought the domain name White Food Wednesday. So if anyone's listening and you want to buy it for me,
I got
a number. Yeah, I got a number in my head that I'm willing to let it go for.
But back to my Fridays thing. If I hashtag Black Food Fridays, it's more about the movement, mm-hmm. about the intent to make a conscious decision to go to a Black-owned restaurant.
Correct.
And enjoy the food. How do you decide what to elevate and what to talk about? Because now you have collaborations with Pepsi. Mm-hmm. You have collaborations with people all over the country. So you've got personal collaborations, professional and corporate. Mm-hmm. So how do you start to decide in that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the easiest thing to do is to give credit to myself for creating a New Year's resolution that I could stick with. And in 2021, I created a New Year's resolution for myself that said, from this point forward, I'm going to strive for qualitative goals versus quantitative goals. What I mean by that is I'm not going to worry about quantitative things like how many followers I get, how many likes I get. I mean, I like to see a bunch of likes and I like to see a bunch of shares and followers. It's human nature, but that doesn't guide my principles and it doesn't guide my content. So my qualitative content is based on this principle. When you come to my page, I want you to say, I didn't know that. That's my entire goal. So with the videos I make, the infographics I make, the restaurants I decide to showcase.
I love your font on the infographics.
Oh, thank you. I'm a nerd.
That's a good font.
Thank you.
It like I'm in my mind thinking about that font and going, that's KJ's font.
Yes. It feels warm. Like it feels nice. Friendly, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. I also study packaging on the side. So like that was a conscious decision. But yeah, like I said, my goal is for you to come to my page and however you interact with me. And I want you to leave saying, I didn't know that. And once that became my focus, that's when like the Pepsi stuff, the Charleston Visitors Bureau, and, you know, I did some stuff with Amazon. And that's when all this stuff started happening because I believe that the universe can't understand intention, right? So when you say things like, oh, this is dumb, all the universe hears is this is dumb. They don't really mean that you think it's dumb. The universe just hears the words that come out of your mouth and tries to make that true. And so by focusing on a qualitative goal of I want people to learn something, I want people to feel empowered that this is something they can do, I think the universe responded in kind. And that's why over this last 6 months, the explosion of followers and support has been so tangible.
What is something that you have learned through this account? Not necessarily a particular fact, but you're a contemplative guy, and you're thinking about what your next steps are, what you've learned from the past. So what is something that maybe has surprised you about this?
Ooh, a surprise. That's a different question. I like that. I like that twist at the end. I like that twist at the end. Okay. So I will say the surprise is that there are not a lot of Black men in the food documentation space, right? From what I found, it's dominated by white women, then white dudes, then Black women, and then way at the bottom, Black men. And I think it's because society doesn't really allow for Black men to be openly creative outside of a few areas of influence, right?
Interesting.
Music. Yeah. Be as creative as you want. Sports. Be as creative as you want. Maybe politics, depending on what part of the country you're in, you know?
Mm-hmm. And a little visual art.
I was about to say the same thing. And then lastly, visual art, right? Mm-hmm. We're comfortable seeing Black men being creative in those spaces. Anything outside of those spaces, you have to have a very strong person with a very focused goal to be able to continuously make the content so that other people will be like, oh, okay, this is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's the most shocking thing of all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good insight. Yeah. Now that you point it out, I can't unsee it.
Yeah, you can't. Exactly.
Right.
You can't unsee it.
Right. My colleague and mentor and friend, Adrian Miller, is the first one that pops in my head. Yeah. And of course, we know a lot more about Steven Satterfield now,
right,
too.
Right, 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 right.
But that's two.
Yeah, yeah. And I interviewed him yesterday, and one of the things that he taught me, Adrian, mm-hmm. was that he is not classically trained in food, right?
Right. Just he's like a myself. Lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. He went to law school, and he, just like myself, he just had a passion for Black people, had a passion for food, and realized, like, yo, there's not a lot of people in this space who look like me and want to talk about the things that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So he takes it from a much more academic approach, whereas my thing is to try to Ben Pogue, who ran for solicitor in Charleston County, he taught me this phrase. He said, the reason why he likes me is because I operate under the level of perception. And I was like, bro, that's so dope. I don't know what that means. And so, and so he explained it to me. And what he was saying is that, again, you know, Adrienne Marie Brown says change needs to be positive for it to last. He likes that, but he also added to that, that change needs to be barely noticeable, right? When you come out of the gate and you say, this entire system is flawed, you guys are racist, you're sexist, you're bigoted, what you do is you put people on the defense. And not that it's not true, right? These people may be all of those things. But when you attack, then you give them a chance to build their defenses. When you operate under the level of perception, they see you working, but by the time they realize what you're trying to accomplish, it's too late, right? Like the trap has been set, or or the knowledge has been put out there. And that's what I'm doing with Black Food Fridays, because make no mistake, this is a political activity that I'm undergoing.
Because mm-hmm. you are, at your heart, a political activist.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Community organizer.
Right.
But yeah, like, I want people to
change. And you're organizing
change.
A community.
Exactly.
Of thousands and thousands of us now.
Exactly.
I mean, I tagged you in Savannah recently. Right. And I was like, it's a Monday, but I'm doing
but
this.
That's all good,
and that's the whole point.
That's the whole right? point.
The whole point is it's an idea. Mm-hmm. And tag any day of the week.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to ask you to say this, which... I know you know, but you probably keep more private. Mm-hmm. I know that this has impacted positively for Black businesses.
Oh, you know what? Yes and no.
Okay.
Okay.
So, because we don't talk a lot about that on Black Food Fridays. It's just pushing.
Yeah.
So, and I say we because it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. You are the moderator of that conversation, but I love that space of conversation. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when I say yes, I have had a few businesses reach out to me and say, I know for a fact that I'm seeing this increase in sales or notoriety or a combination of the both because of you. Right. Yesterday, I did a little mini tour with some celebrities that were in town, and I took them to Gilly's. And the owner of Gilly's was like, bro, I'm going to have to get a bigger restaurant because you keep telling people about this place and we are like staying busy. Now, I'm not to say that I'm the reason they're busy, but he has came out of his mouth, Sean, and said, I can tell when you post something about us, I can tell. I can see the difference. Swank Desserts in Somerville was another place. It was like, yo, like I can tell when you post something because I get an increase in inquiries or sales or whatever the case may be. But the majority of the people don't reach out to me. And I'm perfectly fine with that because I'm not doing it for them to reach out to me. My goal is to get everybody else to reach out to them.
Right.
And I hope that they're so busy with all this business that they don't have time to call me and email me and be like, hey, I appreciate you so much because you're working.
And that's what we haven't really talked about with Black Food Fridays. As somebody who covers the Southern space, it's difficult. They're often family members that are working. they are trying to do everything, which is, you know, from cooking to the menus to the till to going and doing the food orders, all of that. So there's not a lot of leftover time to answer the phone or send emails or respond to direct messages or anything. So think about we and those of us definitely in the podcast space are used to being on devices. We're used to being on a computer. The food and beverage world is very much off the devices, especially if you're family owned, right?
100%. I mean, I did some research at the beginning of Black Food Fridays, and these are numbers that come from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is that most Black owned businesses, especially in the restaurant space, start with as little as $5,000 in their own personal savings, right? Or collections from family members. And so just let's just think about the Charleston metro area, right? $5,000 from a rent standpoint is not going to get you very far here, you know? So you have to pay rent. You have to pay CAM fees. You have to pay impact fees, depending on what part of the area you are. You're in. You got to buy the food. You know, you got to buy the POS system, all that stuff. So that $5,000 goes very quick, which means that they're in the business, working in the business so that they can flip that money over and over and over and over. It won't be until more Black owned businesses can work on their business versus in it that you'll see things like the creation of standard operating procedures, where you'll see expansion into different locations, where you'll see franchising, where you'll see an improved focus on aesthetics, you know, all these things that make restaurants restaurants. A lot of times these Black owned restaurant owners cannot focus their energy into that. And so that's something that over time, I do have plans on trying to address those types of things. Mm-hmm. But right now it's just building awareness.
Mm-hmm. All right. Down to the last four questions. It is fried chicken day. So before we get into those, I have to ask a couple rapid fire questions from my large research file, lifelong research file on fried chicken.
I'm ready.
Cast iron skillet or deep fried?
Ooh, you know what? I don't think it matters that much. I think the breading, the seasoning and the breading.
Okay. So we want a seasoning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do we like the pressure cooking then fried? Like that's the KFC method.
Yeah. I'm not particularly a fan of that one. Mm-hmm. I will eat it, but I don't need it. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with the seasoning, what do you have like a favorite seasoning type?
I'm gonna be honest with you, because as you know, your listeners don't know, they'll know now that I don't cook that often. But I will say that Lily's of Charleston, which is a Black owned company here in Charleston,
episode 225.
Hey, there you go. Tracy and Jay, their seasonings are spectacular. And lastly, this is not a paid advertisement, but Layla Ali, the daughter of Muhammad Ali, she has a line of spices. They are spectacular. I get sent more spices than I know what to do with. I can name like 20 people who have excellent spices, but I'll leave somebody out. The last person I will say, there's a Black woman who's from Charleston. Her family's from Charleston, but she lives in Houston. And her spice is called Adabaduya. That stuff is awesome as well. But yeah, seasoning, very important.
Seasoning is very important. Yes. Beyond salt and pepper.
Right. Exactly.
Black pepper is good, though. Not anti-black pepper.
Right. Especially the fresh stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, explosion. Qualitative content. You're going in a direction here. Mm-hmm. What is making you hungry?
Ooh. Do we mean from a psychological standpoint or literally hungry?
I used to say most of the time you can choose, but I really am asking like philosophically.
Oh, yes. Freedom. That is my hunger. Freedom for myself. Freedom for Black people in general. Food is one of the lowest barrier of entry businesses that Black people can get into. And just to be frank, American cuisine is built off of Gullah Geechee cuisine, which is black people food, right? Like, so if anyone should be profiting off of food in this country, it should be us. So I think it's a quick way to financial independence. And when you are financially free and you don't have to worry about all these, you know, the bills of the, that takes up so much energy and time for people, mental not just space. Black people. Yeah.
Creativity space.
I was going to say that. Yes. It's not just black people, but you know, I'm just speaking in terms of black people, but when you have to worry about how are you going to pay your bills, you can't be creative. And that creativity is where freedom comes in my mind.
What is one aspect of this job that you created for yourself as a part-time gig during the pandemic?
Yeah.
That is now really meshing with an aspect of your natural personality, fitting like a puzzle piece.
Research. I love research. I think I have a gift of taking complex ideas and making it digestible for everyday people. And so talking about food is allowing me to do something I love to do, which is eat, because I'm not a cook. But it's taking that desire to eat, that desire to take care of black people, and that desire to enlighten. I don't believe that I can educate anyone. I think that all I can do is present you the information, and then you have to decide whether you're going to receive it or not. And this project has allowed me to put all of those things in a blender and blend it up perfectly. And I think that's part of the reason why everything's been working as well as it has been, because it's a natural progression of who I naturally am.
Mm-hmm. People call me the Southern Fork.
There you go, right?
And that's not my name. It's actually Stephanie, but that's cool.
But you earned it fair and square.
What keeps you up at night? Just one thing.
Not reaching my potential is the only thing. I do not want to die or be on my deathbed and feel like, holy crap, I could have done so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's in the closet. I only have one closet. It's the closet that I record in, but it also is the closet that holds my theoretical magic picnic basket. It's only for Southern Fork guests. And traditionally, this dream meal scenario might be suggested as a death row meal, but as I do not believe in the death row.
Right.
As an entity of our institutional prison system, I have tried to switch it up to a meal that brings you life. So in this magic picnic basket, I can time travel. I can go back in time to conscript anybody to make any specific dish that you've had. I can source for you. I can cook a little bit. Not Tracy Richardson style, but right. That's Lilies of Charleston, by the way, but, I can make a few things and I would love to bring you some of your favorite things in this picnic basket. They don't have to go together. And I know it can go on forever. So let's just pick a few things.
Yeah.
So.
This is easy. This is probably the easiest question you've asked me. Number one, we're starting with a dessert because we're adults and we don't have to wait until the end of our meal.
100% amen.
Sweet potato pie is the greatest pie that ever pied.
What?
In my opinion.
Okay.
In my opinion. Let me go ahead. That's a disclaimer.
Yeah.
It is the best thing ever. And so that's number one in this magical picnic basket.
Whipped cream on it or not?
No.
Okay.
Because if it's done well, you don't need the extra stuff. Number two, again, we're going to follow the dessert pattern. Daddy's Girl Bakery, which is a black owned bakery in North Charleston.
On Reynolds Avenue.
Yes. They sell chewy ice cream.
Oh my God. I just reached out to them about the chewies today. Oh,
bro, the ice cream?
This with is Charleston chewies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is spectacular. God, it's so good. In Baltimore, there's a restaurant called Poppy's Cuisine. They sell these things called colossal crab egg rolls, which is exactly what you think it is. It's a massive egg roll stuffed with fresh crab meat and their special seafood sauce. And since we're going to go down the egg roll rabbit hole, Gillies of James Island has a soul roll. that is a soul food meal in an egg roll. It's a red rice and sausage, pulled pork, collard greens, and pimento cheese deep fried in an egg roll. Jesus. And last but not least, I'm going to have to give a shout out to my friend Smarell, and her mom who owned Dell's. And I'm going to get a Dell's Jazzy Pizza. I love the Dell's Jazzy Pizza. I really, really do. So those would be, see, that was easy. I could go off for like 17 more items, but those are the first ones off the top of my head.
Those are the first ones. Mm-hmm. I try not to, but I need to know where Southern Fork listeners are going to want to know what the Jazzy Pizza is.
Oh, okay. So Dell's is a black owned restaurant with mostly vegan and vegetarian options. They do have some seafood options, and a Jazzy Pizza is basically their version of a vegan pizza, but it's not like a traditional pizza. It's a bed of nachos. And so they put all the veggies and their goddess sauce and all that stuff on it. Then they bake it like a pizza and you eat it, you know, like not, it's a weird thing. They call it a pizza, but it's basically a flat bed of nachos shaped in a circle like a pizza. It is spectacular.
On that note, I'm going to have to deal with my lunch plans after this. If people want to learn more about Black Food Fridays, you know where to go. You can go to thesouthernfork.com. It's a really useful hashtag. I use it a lot on Instagram if you're a social media type. If you go to the Southern Fork, you're going to be able to see the face behind this voice. He also has another podcast that you should check out. So we're going to have that link there as well. If you like what you hear, the world of Southern food is deep and wide and filled with delicious things and interesting people that I love to call my community. So I'm so happy to bring you one each week, a conversation each week. And I really appreciate you for popping by to see me today. Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to Talking With My Mouthful. I'd like to just quickly circle back to someone that KJ and I mentioned. His name is Adrian Miller. And in case you are new to this podcast, I wanted to remind you as a listener to dive into the archives because Adrian and I had a conversation for episode 90. Professionally, Adrian's tagline is Soul Food Scholar, and he has a book about soul food that is wonderful and award-winning, I should say. And he has a new book that has just come out, and it's called Black Smoke, African Americans and the United States of Barbecue. And it has recipes as well as scholarly material. And Adrian is a really wonderful researcher, and he is an engaging writer. So I hope that you will take the time to dive in and listen or re-listen to episode 90 and then check out his books, Soul Food and Black Smoke. That's all I have for today. Thanks a lot for listening, and I will talk with you next week.
You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?